Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Yeah, I have three ARVs for this house, 4.25 being the lowest, 435 mid, and then a 450 high. And I'm pretty conservative.
Best ever listeners, before we get into today's episode and the interview with our best ever guest, I want to mention Fund That Flip, because Fund That Flip is an online lender that gives you fast, convenient access to really affordable money that you need for your flip project. So if you're doing residential flips, then the main thing I imagine that you're focused on, or the main two things, are the deal and the money. So if you've got the deal pipeline, but you need access to cash and you want to build a reputation within a group that will continue to invest their dollars into your deals, then go to fundthatflip.com/best ever. The founder of Fund That Flip is Matt Rodak, and he's actually one of my very first guests on the show. It's episode number 7. So if you have a chance, go check that out too. Familiarize yourself with Matt and what he's all about. But when you're needing money and you want an online lender that provides fast, convenient access to affordable capital for your flipping projects, then Fund That Flip's the way to go. Their team has over 200 deals under their belt, and you can actually, this is crazy, you can actually be approved immediately within 30 seconds once you put in your information. So go to fundthatflip.com/best ever and get some money for your flipping projects. Hi, best ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and happy weekend. Hope you're having a best ever weekend. And we've got a special segment of the show called Situation Saturday, where for the most part, I'd say most Saturdays, we do this. We give you a special treat where we put our best ever guest in a particular situation, and they tell us how they will solve the situation, and rather past tense have solved the situation, because we're not talking hypothetical scenarios. We're talking about situations that they've been in and solved. And it's a situation that you'll find both interesting and then also applicable to your investing career, whether it's directly applicable or indirectly applicable.
I'm confident that you're going to find it valuable. With that being said, we've got a previous best ever guest, and you can check out his best ever advice in episode 405 titled Banker Goes Flippin' Crazy. And that's in reference to his background before he started investing, not necessarily any tantrums, rather, that he had on the show. With us today, we've got Eric Stutz. How you doing, Eric?
Excellent.
Nice to have you on the show again. And really quick, Eric is based in Long Island, New York. He's a full-time real estate investor and licensed real estate broker. He was a banker by trade and used to work for JP Morgan Chase. And he is also a buy and hold investor. He's done student housing, fix and flips, and participated in syndicated deals. And on average, his deals, he makes between $75,000 and $80,000 a flip. Now, Situation Saturday, what we're going to talk about is a very specific circumstance that happened to him. And again, I think when we're listening to his story, let's put ourselves in his shoes and let's think about how would we solve for it. Because even if this specific scenario doesn't happen to you or me, then I'm confident we can still apply his problem-solving principles and what he used to make things happen to other deals and other scenarios that come across our way. So here's the situation, and I'll let him take it away. He came across a property, and he'll give all these details, but he came across a property. It had a very interesting contract that came with it, and it was cost prohibitive if this contract was not in some form or fashion changed, whether it's removed or changed or whatever. And with that being said, I'll go ahead and give it over to Eric. And Eric, you want to give us some context and some information about the situation and then what you did to solve it?
Sure, no problem. So in searching for investment grade properties here on Long Island, one of my searches is for estate sales. And this property came across my desk that was an estate sale in Massapequa, New York. And the list price was $379,000. And the price, it really wasn't the price that made me go, you know, take a look and set up an appointment to see it. It was the fact that it was an estate and it was an area that I'm comfortable with. And when I first set up the appointment to go see it, I was talking to the listing agent. And, you know, first of all, the house was just based on the MLS data. It was, you know, also mismarketed. And when I called to set up the appointment, the agent started going into some details in regards to this solar lease that had to be sold with this property and had to be part of the contract. And she went on to explain that there was 19 years left on this solar lease. And she gave me, you know, whatever specifics she had at that time. And again, it was, you know, she didn't have much information other than whatever she was told verbally from the heirs, which is a daughter and her husband who live upstate New York. And again, I don't know why, as a listing agent, she didn't have the solar lease contract as part of her, you know, listing package and have it in her folder for this house, because it was a very critical thing to have, considering this house has to be sold with this 19-year lease and has to be transferred to the new owner. So with that said, I went to go take a look at it with relatively limited information. She did tell me that there was a 19-year solar lease left, and it was $150 a month for 19 years. And that's pretty much the only data that I had at that point. Another thing I would like to mention is that she had the total taxes for this property listed at $8,167, so $8,167. And those taxes were actually about $5,500 less than what they actually are. So again, this particular agent definitely did not do her homework on this particular property to figure out what the correct taxes really were, as well as didn't have much information in regards to the solar lease other than a couple of variables that I had mentioned.
So you got a purchase price, or a list price rather, of $379,000, the taxes aren't listed correctly, $5,500 less. But then the big thing is that there's a solar lease on the property. There's 19 years left on the solar lease, and it's $150 a month, so $1,800 a year. Does that $1,800 a year... Well, okay, first I'll start big picture. What is this property worth?
This property, like ARV?
Yeah, yeah.
The ARV that I'm coming up with this house is about a 440.
Okay, 440K. List price is 379. How much to get it to be that 440?
I'd be putting in about 50 grand.
Got it. All right, so 380. So the number, you know, $10,000 profit basically, which isn't anywhere close to the $75,000 to $80,000 that you aim for per flip. So what do you do?
So I went out to go, you know, see the property. I checked it out again, started getting more and more details. There's a neighbor next door, an older gentleman that showed right up when I went to go look at the property, asking questions. I come to find out that they're paying him $250 a month just to keep an eye on the property and mow the yard. And he wasn't really doing a great job with the yard and all. So essentially he was getting paid very well just to keep an eye on his neighbor's house. But in any case, so I take a look at the property. All the exterior parts of the house are in good shape. Newer vinyl siding, newer roof. It's a colonialized cape. So originally it was a cape that was fully colonialized. It was done in a really nice way. It had a nice portico in front. You couldn't see the solar panels from the street. I mean, you'd have to walk back, you know, like 100 yards to even see. So the solar panels, although they were there, definitely were not an eyesore at all. Whereas on some of these other houses that have solar panels, like ranches, they kind of stick out. Sometimes they don't look so great. So that really didn't affect the curb appeal of this property. But the inside was modified for, you know, a handicapped person. Like I was told, you know, after, you know, many conversations that she had spent like 25 grand redoing the first floor bathroom, which was really nice, nice tile, nice fixtures. But it was has one of these handicapped tubs. And that's just something that, you know, obviously that was, you know, running my numbers, I'm going to salvage the, you know, the vanity, the toilet, the floor, but I have to remove this handicapped tub. And it's a very high tub. So I'm going to have to remove the tile, which is brand new, and either try to match that tile, get in a regular tub. Again, that was just one little aspect of the renovation part, but, a lot of wallpaper, a lot of paneling, original oak floors. But what this person did is she ended up having pergo installed over the oak floors. And I know that the oak floors are in good shape because I lifted up a couple pieces. So I know that I'm going to rip all that pergo stuff up and you know, have the original oak floor sanded and polyurethaned. This house was also being used as a mother-daughter, meaning the upstairs was a separate apartment. So they kind of built like this little temporary wall when you first walk in. I would say a temporary wall, you know, a real wall with a door entrance to the first floor apartment. And then the staircase just goes straight up. That was a 2-bedroom with a bath, a huge living room, kitchen combo. But that is something that I don't get into. There is a decent market here on the island for what we call mother daughters, or I like to call them illegal two families. So I'm definitely going to bring it back to a colonial, and I'm going to turn the upstairs into the main living quarters for this particular house. Going to add a bathroom upstairs. You know, take the living room, make that a master suite, add a master bath with a walk-in closet, and then you'll have your hall bath, which I need to renovate, and then you'll have two other nice-sized bedrooms. But the thing that's interesting with these capes that are colonialized is that a typical cape has 2 bedrooms down and 2 bedrooms up. So the fact that they colonialized it, you know, essentially you could have all your bedrooms upstairs, but the first floor, you really can't, you know, unless you try... It's almost impossible to open up the whole first floor because you have your staircase is in the middle of the house. And so those other 2 bedrooms downstairs, I will call one of them a bedroom. And then maybe I will call another one either a den and or an office. And I'm going to open up the kitchen. This was a house that has beautiful granite, some really nice, nice sink and nice fixtures with 40-year-old cabinets. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to salvage the granite in this particular house. I budgeted to not be able to salvage it because I'm going to end up probably redoing the kitchen, opening up a wall or two so the kitchen is open to the living area as well as the dining area. So with further investigation, I figured out that the taxes, because it was an older person living there and there was a handful of exemptions. There was a senior citizen's exemption. There was a vet's exemption, probably from her husband. There was an enhanced STAR exemption, which is a school tax exemption. And that's where that extra, you know, $5,500 difference came from. So I let the agent know what the real taxes were. And she went back into MLS and actually updated it, which again, that's great. That was a plus for me because now I know that's going to make the house even, you know, harder to market and make it less marketable. And with that said, I made an offer. This is prior to negotiating with the solar company. I made an original offer of $273,000, in which she presented, and the daughter and her husband weren't too happy about that. And you know, since the agent wasn't such a great agent, I told her, I said, look, if you want, I'd be more than happy to present the offer with you. So we ended up doing a conference call with them upstate. And, you know, I presented my offer. I presented, you know, whatever facts I had at the time in regards to taking over this solar lease, in regards to that the taxes really aren't $8,100. They're really $14,500. That the house is going to need a lot of work, and that, you know, I'm looking to buy this house, renovate it, put it back on the market and make a few dollars. I said, I'm looking for deals, not steals. And, when I was on the conference call, the husband was, he was on another line, you know, he was on another phone in the house, and he started getting a little crazy, you know, started getting loud. And you know, you're trying to steal this from us. This house is, you know, this house is worth $3,250 all day. It literally was pretty much shouting at me over the phone and was saying, there's no way we're going to give it to you for $273. That's way too low. It's worth way more. And, you know, as he got louder and louder, I just politely excused myself and said, you know, I'm going to have to get off the phone now. I appreciate your time. Hung up the phone. Of course, the listing agent calls me right back and says, I apologize. He's pretty tough to deal with. And, you know, obviously very, very vocal with particular property. So during the interim, I just was very patient. And, you know, I knew there was a chance that they would call back. You know, she told me she was going to have another open house. Nothing happened. A real quick piece of information. They did have a deal that fell through prior to my $273 offer. They did have somebody that came in. I think they got as far as actually inspecting the property, but once they found out, you know, more details about the solar lease and that they were going to have to take this lease over, what the cost of it was, they actually backed out. So they did have one deal that fell apart, which also bolstered my position in going for this house at a price that works for me.
Okay. And so they were wanting at least $325,
correct,
even though they had it listed for $379, and you were offering $273, and you hadn't spoken to the solar company at this point. Over what period of time passed? I assume they reached out to you again. So over what period of time passed until they reached out?
It was about, my original offer was the middle of July, and they reached out to me at the end of September. So I would say a little over 2 months, and they ended up, you know, getting back to me. I follow up on all of my deals. A lot of my deals take 5 months, 6 months, 7 months. A lot of times I'm not the first accepted offer, but I do end up becoming the buyer when a 203 falls apart or when another deal falls apart. So, you know, I've learned to become very patient with a lot of these offers that I put out there. So, yeah, so I was in touch, you know, occasionally with the listing agent, just asking her what's going on, any activity, and she was still trying to work on them. in regards to getting him to accept a lower price. So when she finally called me, she said that at this point that they'd be willing to take 285. It's all right. That's, definitely getting closer to where I need to be to make this property make sense for me. So at that point, I decided to investigate a little further with the solar company. I ended up calling the solar company. They sent me a copy of the lease and they sent me a copy of the transfer agreement. So now I was dealing with, somebody out in California who was going to be handling the transfer of this solar lease. And so I got this, 20-year solar lease contract. I reviewed it. I marked it up and I came up with a bunch of things that I needed to have changed in this particular contract in order for me to move forward and buy this house and again, make it work for me. And the solar company, believe it or not, they were actually very, very happy to work with me. And, again, that took, I want to say, anywhere from like 2 to 3 weeks of just kind of back and forth, negotiating. I pretty much asked for a $50 payment per month for 19 years. And again, there's a lot of details with the solar lease, but the bottom line is that after the 19 years, you don't own it, or after the 20 years, you don't own it. You could either, there's a buyout option at the end, you could renew it, or you could have it removed. So, I just wanted to have them give me a couple of options. So over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, I had asked, they asked me what would work for me. I said a $50 payment. So eventually they got back to me with two options. They offered me a buyout option. So for $12,000 or $13,000, I could buy out the lease and have no lease payment for 20 years. But again, with these solar panels, which I wasn't aware of until this particular property came up, you still have an electric bill. You still have to be connected with the electric company, your local, electric grid. And you also have to have an internet connection so they could read the solar panels. And if you don't, the cost goes up. So again, these were all like just other costs that the $150 a month that this woman was paying. She had to have an internet connection. If the payment wasn't, taken out of her checking account directly, then the payment goes up another $750 a month. So there's a lot of these other little variables that, that increase the cost of this lease. So in any case, they ended up getting back to me with two options, a buyout option for $12,000 or $13,000, which means if I, at the closing, I would pay them $12,000 or $13,000 and there would essentially be no electric bill for the 19 years that were remaining with this lease. Of course, you would have your regular little electric bill. But I believe that with this particular house, you're going to end up getting credits because something I didn't mention earlier is that this house actually has gas. And all the major appliances in this house are gas. So to me, this is another huge reason why I can't believe that, they let this older woman sign a 20-year solar lease because the house has gas. All the major appliances are gas. So essentially, your electric is just your lighting and a couple of other smaller appliances, which again, kind of I used as leverage in working with, negotiating with the solar company to get them down as much as possible. So they offered me the buyout and then they offered me a new lower payment of $75 a month with no escalation clause. Again, it was in the original contract. It was totally for the solar company. 100% in their favor. So what I was looking for was to get it, either into my favor or at least, half and half. So they did offer me a $75 a month payment with no escalation clause. And to me, that really made sense because I did investigate, a house of this size, what the electric would cost considering the house has gas. And if these particular solar panels would actually bring credits on a monthly basis. So I figured it out that I ended up choosing the $75 a month payment plan, which I'm very confident in. I'm going to be very comfortable selling the remaining lease. By the time I'm done with this house, maybe there's going to be 18 years left. And I'm completely comfortable selling a house, you know, it's a 5-bed, 2-bath house with a $75 a month solar lease in place. Again, the house does have gas, and I think that whoever buys this house, you know, including myself, for the few months that I own it, I really don't use much electric when I'm doing renovations because nobody's living in these houses. But I think that I'm going to actually be able to sell this house, telling the new buyer that they're actually going to be getting credits on a monthly basis. So not only, you know, do they have this lower, you know, a nice low payment on 19 years left, but that they're, you know, I don't want to say on a monthly basis, but that there are going to be credits at times, that their electric is going to be minimal, and that they're going to be, that these solar panels are actually very beneficial, you know, for this house at that price.
What was the escalation clause previously in the contract? It was, you said $150 a month for 19 years, but was it not fixed at 150?
Correct. So every year there was like a 4.5% escalation clause for the payment. So
about $6 to start out with and then go from there.
So every year. So every year your new monthly payment, like you just said, would go up. So the next, you know, in the second year would be $156, and then eventually you're gonna be, you know, $200 again for a house that doesn't, you know, consume, you know, all that, you know, that much electric, considering the house does have gas. And I didn't share this information at the time with the listing agent or anybody else, other than my attorney. And because at that time, so taking a step back, so I had these two relatively good options on the table. At one point, I almost agreed to the 285, but I didn't have the final negotiation. I didn't have these two options in writing yet from the solar company. And I made a mistake, and I sort of accepted the 285. And then, you know, a few days later, got the call from the solar company, had these two options on the table, and I just went back to the listing agent and said, look, at this point, you know, based on all the information that I have, I can't do the 285. It's just, again, that number is not going to work. So I came up with a new lower offer of 275. And she went back to the owners and got them to agree to the 275. Again, it's an all cash offer. I sent their proof of funds. I'm ready to go. And I got them to accept a new lower offer of 275. I opted for the $75 a month payment for the solar lease, which makes it much more marketable. Makes it marketable. Like, again, the current lease that's in place is not even, you know, makes the house unmarketable. So, and yeah, so I went in with a lower price.
And you're selling it for $440, right? Or you will sell it for $440.
Yep.
That's the projection. And so we're going to subtract 440. You said 50,000 is what you need to put into it, roughly?
Yeah, I have, I'm just trying to think here. I just wanted to see my numbers. I have 50 and then another 35 in carrying closing costs. Again, the taxes on this property are 14.5, which I'm going to be paying, you know, 1400 a month carrying. I am going to be doing, you know, taking out a private equity loan for, you know, let's say we're 230. So again, you have 50 in reno and then another 35 in carrying and closing. So total, looking at around like 85 grand.
Okay. So 440 minus 85 grand is 355 minus you paid 275 for it?
Correct.
All right. There's your 80,000. That's the magic number for you. $75,000 to $80,000 a flip.
Give or take, you know.
Give or take. Yeah, of course. Yeah. These aren't exact to the penny numbers because it's not done yet.
Yeah, I have three ARVs for this house, 4.25 being the lowest, 435 mid, and then a 450 high. And I'm pretty conservative. I mean, you know, I think I could hit that mid to upper ARV on this particular property. So, yeah.
All right. Well, Eric, this has been quite the learning experience. And boy, it's so cool to hear the play-by-play as this was happening, or not as it was happening, but I felt like that maybe that's a Freudian slip. I felt like it was happening as you were talking. And yeah, I was really into it. And some of the takeaways, one is the solar lease ended up being an opportunity. Because that it's likely that scared some people away, in addition to the taxes and just the overall condition of the property. for people who weren't experienced in it. And also the listing price of $479, which, you know, the husband was confident that they could get $325. So that just shows the major spread that was there. Then you ended up offering $273 and ended up closing at $275. And then the negotiations that you had with the solar lease company. So there's a major takeaway there. When you look at solar leases, take a look at the escalation clauses. Take a look at what is required for that company to actually facilitate the solar lease contract, like the internet connection, like having electricity or connected to the electric company. And then take a look at what is needed for your property for electric and what is needed for gas and how much you could actually save for it. So really doing the due diligence throughout. And then, you know, also due diligence on taxes too, where, you know, the previous owner had the senior citizen discount, a veterans discount, and one other thing. So a lot of things to learn, a lot of lessons, and a lot of takeaways for the situation Saturday. Eric, thank you so much for being on the show. And what's a way that the Best Ever listeners can reach you?
Thank you very much for having me on the show. And I can be reached at eric@largecapproperties.com. I could be found on LinkedIn. And if anybody wants to give me a buzz, I can be reached at 516-208-7272.
All right, Eric. Hope you have the best ever weekend. Talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
If you need money for your flipping project, then go to fundthatflip.com/best ever. You'll know within 30 seconds if you're approved or not to get money for your residential flip. Go to fundthatflip.com/best ever. Best ever listeners, join me in subscribing to the Family Office Podcast. The host, Richard Wilson, you can learn more about him, episode 447. The reason why you'll want to subscribe and listen to this podcast is he talks about how billionaire families think and how to attract the ultra wealthy into your business. The Family Office Podcast.